there's so many people that don't get checked for their kidneys. That's important to do that because it can sneak up on you so quickly. And then the next moment you're in the emergency room needing dialysis because you're in failure.
Welcome to Let's Talk About Life, a podcast brought to you by LifePath. Donation can be a complicated subject, but it is really all about life. Spend a few minutes as we unravel the complexities of donation. Let's talk about life.
We love the month of March. The winter is slowly moving out, and early signs of spring are just about everywhere. We also love March because it's when we celebrate National Kidney Awareness. As a two-time kidney recipient, it's an excellent time for me to reflect on my many blessings, and more importantly, the thousands of individuals afflicted with kidney disease. There are 103 men, women, and children on the organ waiting list right now. More than 88,000 are waiting for a kidney transplant. Hi. You're listening to episode 144 of Let's Talk About Life. I'm your host, Colleen Gerber, kidney recipient and LifeBank staff member. You know, the thing about kidney disease is that it is really very sneaky. You can live most of your life without the knowledge that you have chronic kidney disease, or CKD, until you begin having symptoms, which by then, your kidneys could already be in failure. Also, there are so many kinds of kidney diseases that affect people differently. Polycystic kidney disease, lupus nephritis, Fabry disease, or IgA nephropathy. Or in my case, a genetic deformity called reflux that destroyed my kidneys by the age of 22. Clearly, we're going to be talking all about kidneys today. Our guest on this episode is Tanya Staler, a kidney transplant recipient who will not only share her story, but also explain the cause of her kidney disease. Tanya, thank you so much for being willing to step up and share your experience with our listeners.
Thank you so much for having me. It's my pleasure.
The pleasure is ours, really, Tanya, getting to know you. Why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners and tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'm Tanya Staler. I'm actually turning 41 today.
Happy birthday. Yay.
Thank you. What a special way to celebrate my birthday and talk about my second birthday. And what I consider my second birthday is my transplant. And, you know, to start out, I was 8 years old when I first got diagnosed. So this was early 90s, late 80s. I was in second grade. And I was having bad headaches pretty frequently. And my mom was laid off at the time. So my parents were kind of thinking that I was trying to, you know, stay at home more with my mom and spend a little bit more time at home with my mom. But this one day, I was complaining really bad of a headache. So my mom took me into the pediatrician. And when he took my blood pressure, he actually looked at my mom and said, "I think my blood pressure machine is broken. Let me get another one." So he came out with a brand new machine and took my blood pressure again. And he looked at my mom and he's like, "You need to call your husband. We need to get Tanya over to Akron Children's Hospital right away."
Oh my goodness.
So I didn't know what was going on, but obviously he's telling my mom, you know, something's going on. When he took my blood pressure, it was 162 over 182.
Oh my God.
And oh yeah, God. So I was on the verge of having a stroke or a heart attack while I was 8 years old.
Unbelievable.
It was full of emotions. My mom, you know, got me on her lap in the car. My dad's rushing us over to the Children's Hospital. They have a full team of everybody waiting for me when I got there. There had to have been probably 12 or 15 people in this room when I got there. They did full workup on me. Scary of all scary things, you know, when you're 8 years old and all these people are coming at you with all these gadgets.
I imagine.
Yeah, it was terrifying. And I was in Children's Hospital for about a week and they did a kidney biopsy on me. And in that biopsy, they found out that I have, at the time, they named it Berger's disease, and it's IgA nephropathy. Okay. And IgA nephropathy is an autoimmune deficiency that attacks your kidneys.
Is this something you were born with, or how does this disease progress? And did you have symptoms prior to being 8?
Not that I remember. I had scarlet fever and strep throat at the same time earlier sometime that year when I was 8. Mm. And that's what the doctors seemed to think, that the combination of that flared up my immune system, which in turn flared up the IgA.
Wow. So
that was how it was brought out. Other than having headaches, I don't remember feeling any certain way when I was younger. Now I have symptoms, but I'm also 41 years old versus 8. So
yeah, you're a little more aware, right?
Yeah, I'm a little bit more aware. But back then, you know, they had me on fish oil pills, blood pressure medicine, and prednisone, high doses of prednisone. So I've been on prednisone since I was 8 years old.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
it's not a good thing.
That's not my favorite medication to be on, but it's part of my anti-rejection regimen now.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I've been on it a long time.
Yeah, me too. I can totally relate. I was on it in higher doses, obviously, for my first transplant. And then when it came time for the second one, I said, oh, can I come off prednisone? And they're saying, no, you've been on it too long. And it almost acts like a supplement for the steroids that your body would naturally produce. But
right.
Not my favorite medication at all. Oof. It's great because it works, A, and B, it's cheap. But
yeah.
It does have, I would say, severe side effects. So.
Oh, yes. And with some people, more than others, side effects.
Yes. Yes. You're so right.
But to answer your question, though, nobody else in my family has this.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
well, but it traces back to the scarlet fever.
And IgA is known as a rare disease.
Yeah, you don't hear about it too much. Before we get into IgA, were you ever on dialysis?
I was not.
Oh.
I did not have any problems from about 96 to 2004. And my husband at the time, and I had gotten pregnant with our son, and I was 5 months along with our son, and my body couldn't handle the pregnancy anymore. And I ended up losing our son and then went into full renal failure after.
Mm.
That was in October of 2004. And then I found out in February of 2005 that I was definitely at the stage where I was progressing to a transplant level.
Goodness.
But my mom was my donor, and she was able to get tested fast enough where I did not have to go on dialysis.
Well, and for our listeners, they prefer to do what they call a preemptive transplant.
That's yes.
Before the patient goes on dialysis, because thinking about it, dialysis, although it saves your life and it does part of the job of your kidneys, it's so traumatic on your system. You know,
it is.
I was on it for a short time, thank goodness. But yeah, and it's much better today than it was back when I was on it. But, you know, it is kind of a trauma. 3 days a week, 4 hours at a session, it's a lot for someone to handle. So there's so many reasons why preemptive transplants are much better health-wise for the patient. So I'm glad that happened. And how's your mom? Yeah. How's she doing all these years later?
Oh, she's great. She gets tested at least once a year. Her kidney function, her doctors test it just to make sure, you know, that she's doing fine. But she's trucking along.
Well, that's awesome.
She's also a caretaker for my dad. He has Parkinson's, so she's a full-time caregiver for my dad. So
Okay. Well, God love her, right?
And yeah.
Obviously, the transplant's been successful.
Absolutely. Yeah. August 23rd of this year will be 19 years. And God's blessed me with 19 years of beautiful memories and a lot of good health. 90% of the time, if I was sick or in the hospital, it wasn't because of my kidney. It was some kind of fluke of having some kind of other infection, but it wasn't kidney related.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, you're feeling great 19 years later?
I am.
You're still kicking along, right?
I am. Yeah, I had a little bit of a scare last September. My numbers dropped pretty drastic. I was about 3 or 4 points away from being put on the transplant list. I was in stage 4 renal failure.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I needed to make some lifestyle changes, which I did. And one of those was the employer that I work for, Huntington Bank. And I have to just give a shout out to them, because when I went to my human resources and said, hey, my doctor's telling me I need to go down to 30 hours a week, go remote, or I have to quit.
Yeah.
I said, because I'm looking at dialysis within the next 6 months to a year or transplant. And I said, I still have to be able to work full time. What can you help me with? And God bless these people. They helped me while I was still in my current position. They allowed me to work there and look for a job internally that was remote. And their recruiters helped me tailor my resume to whatever positions, you know, that I was applying for. And, you know, they gave me coaching opportunities. And now I'm in a position that if I ever do have to go on dialysis, I'm still able to work full time, and I'm remote and I can do my job anywhere.
Wow. Well, shout out to Huntington Bank. That's wonderful.
Right?
That's wonderful.
They are fantastic to their employees. They are phenomenal.
Well, I would be remiss if I didn't say Life Bank has been phenomenal and understanding with me as well. You know, I think that's such a great thing that employers are aware of the importance of transplant. And I'm just grateful, as you are, for that opportunity that they understand this is a life and death situation. To over-dramatize it, but it truly is.
It truly is. You say not to over-dramatize it, but sometimes that's what we're trying to do, is bring more awareness to kidney problems that people have, because there's so many people out there that are just walking around that they don't get checked regularly for their kidneys. And, you know, that's important to do that, because it can sneak up on you so quickly. And then the next moment you're in the emergency room needing dialysis because you're in failure.
Absolutely. Yeah, I can't agree with you more. You know, high blood pressure, diabetes. I mean, even like a simple blood pressure, take your blood pressure every week or so just to see where it is and if it's in the normal range or not. And then follow up with that. Unfortunately, that can lead to the discovery of kidney disease. Now, you mentioned that IgA is pretty rare. Can you speak a little bit more about the disease and how it affects people and some of the symptoms?
Yeah, IgA is an autoimmune deficiency that attacks your kidneys. It affects how the blood is filtered in the small blood vessels of your kidneys. And it occurs when abnormal protein damages the filtering unit, which is inside your kidneys. So it's estimated in between 20 and 40% of the people who have IgA will develop end-stage renal disease, which will mean that you'll have to either have dialysis treatment or eventually go, you know, and have a life-saving kidney transplant. Some of the symptoms that I suffer from and a lot of the other IgA patients, we have more research that has been developed. It shows that it has a lot to do with your gut health. So a lot of IgA patients do have a lot of GI issues, a lot of sleep problems, insomnia is huge. Anxiety comes along with it because it is a disease that there is no cure for. So you constantly have that fear in the back of your mind of, is this the day that's you know, my kidneys are going to fail for good, you know. There's treatments out there like dialysis and transplant, but, you know, there are patients that don't qualify for those right. treatments. So there's a lot of physical symptoms that you can have from IgA. As a patient, I feel like I have had more mental than physical symptoms than anything, just because it plays a lot on your mental status, just no matter what it is, if it's your friends, your family, you know, right. There's a lot of my friends that are 40 years old that they can go out to a dinner, a bar, or whatever, and they can go eat a steak dinner and have two or three drinks, and it's not going to affect them. Where if I go out and have a steak dinner and have two or three drinks, I'm paying for it that night and probably 3 or 4 days after. Wow. You know, it's just high protein meals. I can't eat red meat anymore. Mm-hmm. It makes me severely ill. Like, I get really nauseated. I don't have a whole lot of symptoms now, other than every once in a while I get nauseated, extremely tired. I have to say that I tap out pretty, yeah. pretty early. Yeah, yeah. But I do work a full-time job. So I get up at 6:30 every morning, and by 9 o'clock, 9:30, I'm usually winding down and usually in bed by 10.
Yeah. Ready to go to bed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Will IgA eventually affect your transplanted kidney?
Yes. It has already came back in the transplant. I had another biopsy in 2006, a year later after I had my transplant. They biopsied the transplant, and it was back in the transplant. But I am on 3 different immunosuppressant drugs that kind of suppresses the IgA as well.
Oh, brilliant. Not only I can see that, I can connect that. So your immunosuppressants not only suppress your immune system, it's suppressing the autoimmune disease. Oh, wow.
Yeah, because it is an autoimmune deficiency. Yeah. So the medicine kind of does. And a lot of IgA patients actually take chemo treatments for their treatments. And infusions. There's so many different treatment options now for IgA than it was when I was diagnosed. Back when I was diagnosed, I was told that I was 1 out of 100 people in the whole United States who had it.
Wow. Wow.
A few weeks ago, actually, I got to go to Orlando for the first time. The IgA Foundation had their ambassador training. That was the most remarkable experience that I have ever had, because with IgA, you go your whole life not having anybody else that you can talk to that knows what you're going through.
Yeah.
You know, I went 38 years before I actually met one other person that had IgA.
Wow.
And that was a couple years ago. I went to the IgA Foundation has an event called Spark, and it's where all of the IgA patients get to come to a central location. It was in Nashville. Mm-hmm. And they have doctors come in. They talk to you about how to read your labs and all kinds of different things. It's a whole day event. They have all kinds of pharmaceutical reps there to talk to you about new clinical trials and all kinds of different things. It's a wonderful event. I'm actually getting ready to go in July to Austin to another Spark event that they're having. This is their 20th year anniversary, so this will be a super special event.
Good. And truthfully, there is something very encouraging about meeting somebody that walked in your path. It may not be identical, but pretty close, and has, you know, they're still trucking along down that path, and they understand, like you said, the day-to-day and what you go through. I mean, there's something very uplifting about that.
It is. It's very inspiring. And so, like I said, I've made so many friends over the last year. And a lot of those are my fellow IgA warriors that are dealing with the same things I'm dealing with. And, you know, we've formed a community that we have. We have a support call that we do once a month. we get on a Zoom call and we bounce ideas off of each other. And is this happening to you? And, you know, we can't give any medical advice, but we do have a medical staff advisory board, and one of the representatives is usually on the call. So if they do have some kind of medical question, there's somebody there that can answer something.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. I love that. March 14th is World Kidney Day. How are you going to celebrate World Kidney Day, Tanya?
Oh, I'm bringing it in with a bang. I don't know. I don't have a specific thing that I'm doing other than this year. I am just going to be focusing, number one, first and foremost, on my relationship with God. But second, I want to be able to get out there and be a voice for the IgA patients and the Kidney Foundation. And I just want to be an advocate for Ohio patients. And that's how I plan on spreading the word and doing more walks and just being out there and being visible for people and knowing that they have somebody and they're not alone.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we love that. And if you ever want to advocate through Life Bank,
absolutely,
you're more than welcome to do so. I would love to meet you.
We did the walk at Blossom last year, and I plan on doing it again this year.
Oh, make sure we connect, because I would love to just give you a hug as a kidney sister and somebody
absolutely
who's really, like you use the word warrior. You're definitely a warrior. And I'm just so proud and so inspired by your story. You just keep marching on, and God bless you. And we
thank you
for coming on and sharing your story with us.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. And I appreciate everyone out there that has, supported me through all of my journey.
Thank you for listening to Let's Talk About Life. If you have questions about today's podcast, reach out to us at info@lifebank.org. Take a few minutes to do something heroic and register to be an organ donor by saying yes at lifebank.org. Literally, someone's life is depending on it.